Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey joins us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Craig, and God bless Phil and Barb Tripp for their continued support of one of Jackson's premier events. I'm sorry that they can't launch this morning, but I sure hope you're managing the weather better so that they can launch tonight.
I'm doing everything I can. I'm sitting here watching the radar.
Okay, Greg. Well, you're at the control panel. Just make sure that they're safe to go tonight, because it'd be too bad if they didn't have a window today.
Trying to get it cleaned up by noontime today, because huge weekend downtown in Jackson with the Gus Macker, the car show. It's an amazing weekend set to go. Hopefully, the weather cooperates.
So Jackson has it rocking. So are you gonna be playing the seniors, Gus Macker?
Yeah, I'll bring my lawn chair. That's about as close as I'll get.
Oh, shoot.
So unlock Michigan. You made it, Mike. You got through.
You know, it took us record-setting only 80 days for the citizens of Michigan to collect 400,000+ signatures. And then it took more than 200 days for the Secretary of State and the Board of Elections to certify them, mixed in with a couple of lawsuits. But we finally got it done. It was delivered to the Senate last week. The Senate voted, did its part, and then the House this week, thankfully, put a final stake in the heart of that 1945 law that was being abused in Michigan. So, yes, it's a great success, and all the credit goes to the volunteers across the state who impassioned with their efforts to get the signatures. And they did the validity rate on their petition signatures was the highest on recorded history. That's how focused people were to do this, and I just take my hat off to them.
Okay, the law was on the books. How was it being abused?
So the Michigan Supreme Court actually deemed it unconstitutional, and so even using it at all was abuse on the public. But the biggest problem was that it allowed for any governor, not just this governor, but any governor. This governor is the one that proved how vulnerable and how bad it was. Could operate and call and operate an emergency and do it forever without citizens and their representatives having any opportunity to discuss or debate or have input into the process. And that's the reason why the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional, and the unlock one petition actually removes it from the books so that it can never be used again.
So now it's down to what, 28 days or a month, or I don't know how they're describing that.
Yeah, it doesn't prohibit. We've got a 1976 law that's still in place and allows any governor that they see an emergency occur, and our governors need to have that ability to call an emergency. But after 28 days, they have to engage with the legislature and work together. And the law requires that, and that's a perfectly good and balanced setup. And so we're in a good spot there. However, what we experienced for the last almost a year and 2 months is this particular administration pivoting and using a similar clause in the public health code that most of us didn't know existed because it's been on the books forever, that allowed the director of the Department of Health and Human Services to do exactly the same thing, and that is unelected person keeping the entire state of Michigan under an emergency epidemic plan, again, without allowing any input in any debate and any pushback and any challenge from the people of Michigan or from their representatives. And so that's what has now spawned what I call Unlock 2. And it's another citizen initiative to amend the public health code so that after 28 days, that just like mimicking, we're going to be mimicking the 1976 law. Mm-hmm. It allows the legislature to engage, and it requires the administration and the legislature, whomever it is, to work together to navigate it going forward. And so That will kick off formally here soon, and we'll have to do it again. I'd rather simply pass a law, pass a bill in the House and Senate and send it to the governor that amends it that way, but I'm not very confident our governor would sign it. So it's going to lead to the citizens having to redress government as they did with Unlock 1 in the effort on Unlock 2.
So an annoying petition drive.
Well, I think it's a fantastic thing provided by our Constitution that allows citizens, when they see their government in mass, you know, in the aggregate, not doing the right thing, that gives citizens the opportunity to redress. And I don't think it's annoying. I think it's a fantastic envisioning of our founders.
But you
might think it's annoying.
Well, I agree, but still annoying. You have to go out and collect how many? 400,000?
Yeah, it's 300,000+, but it's okay. Always try to get a buffer there, and it is annoying having to do it.
Yeah,
I will say this: we're attempting to avoid it potentially through negotiating with the governor's office, and I hope that we can do that.
Seems like a waste, really.
We're going to give it all we got.
Yeah. Seems like, sit down and, as long as the other one is through, let's get them both through and get on with it.
Amen. From your lips to God's ears, my friend.
Well, I hate to present any common sense around here, but... What's how's the budget going, Mike?
The budget is progressing fine. I mean, we didn't get it done, the entire budget done by July 1st. We got a very important and big piece to give schools guidance as to what they're going to have to spend come the fall. The rest of the budget is being worked on now with the subcommittee chairs of all the various budgets in both chambers and the House and Senate appropriate chairs. And people will start seeing real material evidence of that work in mid-August, and then we'll finish it up well before the October 1st deadline.
Is there a reason to be expedient with that, or is it better to be cautious?
No, it's there's no reason to rush now that we've went into a summer session. And actually, it does provide an opportunity for the, because it's a pretty rigorous process, and allowing the subcommittee chairs and their respective committee members to have a little more time to discuss and refine budget plans and budget details is, in my mind anyway, a good thing. And we have a pretty rigorous calendar-driven schedule, date-driven timeline schedule that we're going to keep ourselves discipline too, and then we'll finish her up mid to late September.
I don't want to blindside you with this, but the horrible tragedy that the Michigan Center community has gone through.
Oh my goodness gracious. My heart, Sue and I were out of town when we saw the news release come across our phones, and it just, I mean, we just stopped in our tracks. We were actually out for a walk, and prayed for the families that are affected. And you know, I hope people don't overreact to faster horses and call it into question. It's in most part it's a fine activity and a great summer event that people look forward to in the Brooklyn area. And I also hope that people also pay attention to the unnecessary deaths of these young men, because it was just an accident. It wasn't purposeful, but it sure is affecting not just those families, but the entire community. And you got to be careful around those generators and that create exhaust. And this is unfortunately a very glaring example right before us, right in our local community, and it's just too bad.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky. Mike, appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Okay, now remember, I need to have those clouds, you know, turned off. By the middle of the afternoon.
We will part the seas by 4 o'clock.
All right, Greg. Take care, buddy.
Okay.